Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and it is Wednesday, and that's May 1st, and everything looks quiet, calm, no problems. But actually, there is complete hysteria going on in my little world here in terms of just getting the equipment on, getting my book out, getting my phones together. By the way, speaking of my phones, 314-471-1968. But it looks like I've got all the chaos under control. And today is another banner day in the world of Donald J. Trump and in our lives. And you know, I mentioned last night, again, just in case you're wondering, you know, why does everybody keep talking about Trump? And, you know, I mentioned the idea that, you know, if you had a meteor headed for Earth and you knew that a collision was imminent and that it would probably bust up the entire planet, you'd probably talk about it every day. And, you know, on Thursday, you wouldn't wake up and say, you know, today we won't talk about the meteor. Let's talk about the nice weather that's due on the following Sunday, although actually it's the Saturday when the meteor is going to hit. You know, that's what's going on here. So that's why the discussion never ends. And I know that Donald does things. I believe that he does things because he wants to be the center of all this attention, even though it's very bad attention. And, you know, if we had Mary Trump here, she could probably tell you a lot more detail since she's lived with all of that for her entire life. So she understands the ins and outs as a psychologist. You know, how do you get a narcissist psychopath to act the way this guy does, beyond me? You know, my PhD work is in psychology, but educational psychology, not that other kind of stuff. Not why is your head not wired properly? Yeah, it's not in that. That's somebody else's area. But I can tell you that, just as an example, Donald was told yesterday, you are going to face a very good likelihood of being incarcerated, could be up to 30 days, if you continue to go on and on with your rants, which are violating the gag order. So immediately upon leaving the courtroom, Donald goes berserk. Now, he may not have violated the gag order this time because he mostly went off on the judge. But remember, the judge is the person who is going to make the decision the next time that the gag order is violated as to what is going to happen to Donald. So he's only encouraging this. Some would say baiting the judge. Maybe that's what he's doing. But at the same time, the judge is attempting not to take the bait because he could have already put Donald in jail for 30 days. And 30 days from today would mean that Donald would miss the whole trial. There is a side to that that has nothing to do with the psychosis that Trump has, and that is he is apparently ice cold in that courtroom and falling asleep all the time. So if he were to sit in jail for 30 days, he'd miss the trial. He'd be there in time to be sentenced, probably 4 years in jail. And he wouldn't be cold all the time, which is good. And the cameras wouldn't catch him. Well, there are no cameras. The sketch artists wouldn't catch him sleeping all the time, which he is doing. Some people have said, well, sort of bizarre that he's sleeping because it's so cold that you would think that people would not sleep if it's that cold. On the other hand, I'm not so sure that that's really good scientific evaluation of the case, because I have seen kids in classrooms sleep when the classrooms are ice cold. So that didn't stop them, and I guess it's not going to stop Donald either. He'll sleep. And by the way, if you'd like to call in, 314-471-1968, we are supposed to have, really any moment, maybe, three students from Cardinal Ritter College Prep. They're supposed to be coming in to talk about the debate that they will be participating in tonight. But as you can see, as I can see, they're not here yet. And, you know, you could say what I always say, which is teenagers. Yeah, okay. Although I will admit that I've done many shows over the years where grown-ups, even people in politics, are told that they're supposed to show up at a certain time, and they know that there are time limits that you're supposed to be there, and then they don't show up. So I suppose it's not that big of a deal, and it's not even that much teenagers. But we'll see. They may show up here. Hopefully they will. A couple of other things going on. I'll tell you, you know, today was an interest rate day on Wall Street. The market was relatively firm early in the day. And then the Federal Reserve at 12 o'clock, no, 1 o'clock our time, 2 o'clock in New York, the Federal Reserve announced the results of their latest meeting. And what they did was nothing that extraordinary. They kept rates the same. And then they reduced the number of bonds that they would sell in their portfolio. And when they sell those bonds, it's the opposite of quantitative easing. It's quantitative tightening. And that kind of tightening was higher, but now it's been brought down a little bit. But it's still tightening. So the Fed is still tightening. Every time they sell bonds, they tighten. I think they've lowered the number now. It'll be down to $25 billion per, I don't know if it's 2 weeks or 4 weeks. But at any rate, it was about $60 or $70 billion. Now it's down to $25 billion. But it's still tightening. It is still tightening. And I mentioned this the other day too. Don't get too bored with all this economics, because honestly, everybody pretty much knows that the country is just widely ignorant when it comes to anything to do with economics, money, markets. Country knows nothing. The Federal Reserve knows a lot, but even then, predicting is not simple. Nevertheless, they know a lot. So what they have done is left the rates high, 5.25 to 5.5 on the federal funds rate. That's the shortest term. That's the rate that banks lend to each other at that rate. And that's like five times what it was 7-8 months ago. And that's an effort to bring inflation down, and it's working. But it isn't working well enough. So the Fed has decided that they're going to put any further changes on hold, nothing up, but then again, no reductions in rate either. So that's all going to sit here. 5.25 or 5.5. The 30-year bond is like 4.75, 4.625, right in there. And what that tells you is we have an inverted yield curve, because you should have it the opposite way. Short-term rates should be lower. Long-term rates should be higher. But the way we've got it with an inverted curve, that is tightening. It tightens everything for everybody in the economy, because short-term borrowing is expensive and people try to borrow in the short run and they get hit with these high rates. So that's where we are. The Fed said, okay, we're not going to do anything big right now. We're going to just reduce the tightening and leave the rates the same. And at that point, the market exploded upward. So the market at that point went from maybe about 100, 200 points up in both the Dow and the S&P. And then soared to about 900 points up. That's a big move. It's a very big move, especially since the news from the Fed was relatively nothing. It was really nothing at all. So certainly not bullish, but the market exploded up. Now, you might wonder where it closed. After being up 900 points on that news, the market closed down. Down for the day. So I'm sure that that makes some people insane, trying to figure out what's going on. For traders, that's like paradise. Because what traders do is watch for situations like that, where markets are hyped by any kind of news, and then they sell into it. It could be the opposite too. The market could be crushed by some news, and then traders would buy it. So no doubt, the smart people sold as the market rallied today to its high. And then, of course, the market caved in at the end. I'll say this, and I've been talking about this for 4 or 5 days now. The chances for this market to fall pretty sharply are significant. And today was a good example of why that's true. Not just the reversal, but the reversal is part of it. But also the fact that when the market was up at the best, it was all Amazon and Apple and Meta, which of course is Facebook and Microsoft. Microsoft was up about $12 at one time. Meta, I think, was up $17. All these stocks caved in at the end, and the NASDAQ ended also minus for the day. Had been up 300, ended up down 50. Interesting market action, and I bring it up especially because in the days ahead, I think we're going to have some very important conversations about what the down market means, not that Joe Biden has done something wrong, not at all, and I just think it's important to set the stage for this discussion so that it's not a matter of people saying, well, it's just random. You know, it's not random. It's not random. Not at all. It, also interesting today, if somebody were to look at high yield bonds, they have been so weak. And high yield bonds are sort of a proxy for stocks, because high yield bonds are very low quality, so that there's no guarantee they're going to get paid back. And so it's really more or less whatever they do, up or down. And the fact is they've been very weak in the face of some strength in the stock market. And that's also another sign of potential weakness coming in the stock market. So there are a lot of things going on here. But having said all of that, I mean, now I get to tell you the fun part of the day. Oh, did I love this? Because, you know, yesterday I talked to you about a dead cat bounce. Now, that's it's a sort of a dangerous thing to talk about when Christy Nome is out shooting dogs. So, you know, you're talking about a dead cat bounce. You sound like you're just the same as her. But actually, this idea of a dead cat bounce in stocks, bonds, whatever, trading, it's a long traditional description of what can happen in certain kinds of markets. And essentially what it means, and I know this sounds horrible, but you know, if you take a cat up to the top of Trump Tower, and I have to admit the joke of all of this has always been the Empire State Building, but let's use Trump Tower. So you take that cat up to the top of Trump Tower and you drop it off, and it comes, you know, plunging down. And then when it hits the bottom, it like the bounce is like nothing. You know, it hardly moves. Yeah. So that's a dead cat bounce. And I used that to describe Donald's stock. You know, Donald's stock had dropped from 80 to 22. And you always get a little bounce. Doesn't matter. You always do. It doesn't matter what it is. So he got a little bounce in his stock. He probably thought it was a little more than a little. He was probably excited about it because he is Donald Trump. And you should know that his professor at when he went to business school, his professor said that he was absolutely the worst student he ever had. The worst. But at any rate, here Donald's sitting with his stock that's worth billions, which was really a gift because it's not worth anything, really. They've lost $50 million in the last year. They've had $5 million in revenue over 3 years. So that's like they're not in business doing anything. Nothing. But at any rate, given all of that, this morning, DJT, OMG is all I can say about that, DJT jumped as high as $55 a share. And one of the things that's been explained here in the last week is that this little dead cat bounce in DJT, it's a special purpose acquisition company, a SPAC. Anyway, it's gone up from 22 or 21 to 55. It was sort of precipitated by an effort to convince people who own the shares not to lend the shares to short sellers, so short sellers couldn't depress the stock, and that story spread around and has sort of helped to lift the company. But again, my enjoyment out of all of this was by the end of today, $55 this morning, Donald's stock was down to $45 by this afternoon. That's a 20% decline after a five-day rebound. So I think, you know, you can pretty fairly say Donald's screwed. But that's all right. I hope he is. He deserves it. He's trying to do it to the country, and we need to stop it. And one thing that will stop it is by taking away his gift, because trust me, he's so excited about that gift because he's never had anything in his life. Oh, a few bucks his father gave him, he lost that. A few bucks he made down the line from some other things, he lost that. Then he got the money from the television show, he lost that. I mean, he loses everything. He's been in bankruptcy 5 times. He's got a problem. Everything he touches dies. That's, somebody wrote a book called that. And here it comes again. So anyway, good luck, Donald. But when your stock drops below 22, which was the low a couple days ago, you'll understand the meaning of a dead cat bounce. But let's also say this off the Donald story about interest rates. You really have to keep them tight long enough to slow things down. And truly, this economy is booming. I mean, it won't stop for anything. The Federal Reserve is trying so hard to slow it down. And they can hardly get anywhere. And on top of everything they've done with interest rates, the fact that those rates are holding relatively high has caused the dollar to be very strong, which is really a funny thing as well, because I heard some people on another radio show the other day, and they were saying that the dollar is plunging because the world has lost faith in the United States under Joe Biden. Okay, there's only one problem. The dollar has not been going down. It has not been plunging. It has actually been going up. And, you know, when the dollar goes up, it really creates a lot of problems for everybody. In the first place, it does allow us to buy goods from other countries because our dollars are worth more. It does not allow people from other countries to buy from us because their currency is worth less. And believe me, this is a very difficult concept because people always get confused. Every time I teach it in the university, I'm not even talking, forget high school, at the university, people stare at you like, what are you talking about? But here's the reason that I bring this up. Aside from the fact that people come up with fake information and that needs to be shot down. But China is talking about, it's been rumored, they've been talking about a massive decline in their currency. That is to devalue their currency. What is it? The renminbi? Whatever it is. In any event, I can tell you this. If China depresses, devalues its currency, it will allow us to buy a tremendous number of goods in China because relative to our currency, theirs is going down. That means ours is going up even more. So it would allow us to buy from China. But the problem with that is it would make it almost impossible for other countries, and especially for the Chinese, to buy from us. And that's what China would want to accomplish. It would sort of be an economic attack on the United States because we'd be buying from China and they couldn't afford to be spending their money over here with us. So that's the attempt. If they do it, they're talking about it. Be an attempt on their part to hurt us economically. And it would because we're already hurting ourselves in theory because our dollar is going up anyway. And that's just because our rates are higher. You know, when your rates are higher, it attracts money because people will put their money where they can get higher rates. And that money coming over here would strengthen the dollar. I know this is so complicated. This is enough to make anybody crazy. And I've done this on other people's shows, and they've said, you know, have you come here to intentionally put people to sleep? Well, I'm sorry. I understand that people don't understand this. They can't figure it out. It's so complicated that after a very short period of time, everybody says, enough. I don't even want to hear anymore. Okay. Well, you don't have to hear anymore. But I will tell you this. Donald doesn't understand a bit of this. None of it. Zero. That's pretty sad, considering he went to a great business school. But it didn't really help him. And, you know, I also mentioned, and then I'm going to get off of all of this, but I mentioned yesterday that there was a way to take care of the problem that we face when it comes to our debt, which isn't that big of a problem anyway, but people think it is. Well, you could have fixed it. You had 4 years to fix it, and that I'm including 3 years under Trump. All he had to do, and he actually quoted this article in some speech somewhere, but I guess he didn't understand what he was talking about, in that we had the ability, the United States, to sell 100-year bonds that would have, in essence, given us a long-term mortgage that we would have paid off at 2% per year for 100 years. And, of course, we're already up to 4.5% if you look at the chart of interest rates, which I didn't bring today. I expected that my students were going to be here, and they still might be, I hope. But at any rate, if you look at that chart over 250 years, you will see that rates have gone down to 2%, that's the lowest, and they've gone up to 14. And there are a lot of times it's gone to 9, 10, 11%, and then back down to 3, 4%. But 2% was the lowest ever. And there's an article today, the day after I told this story yesterday, there's an article today in something called Market Watch, which is tied to Barron's Magazine, which is published by Dow Jones, which is the publisher of the Wall Street Journal, just so you understand that there's credibility in all this. And they were telling the story of how we failed to take advantage of these low interest rates in a way that would have protected our country for 100 years from any debt problems. In fact, if we would have locked up all this money at 2%, we could have come into the marketplace and borrowed $10 trillion for the heck of it, just to have a little money. Could have done that. I mean, we could still do it, actually, because we're a wealthy country and we have the ability to borrow unlimited amounts of money. But, you know, you would have hoped that our money people would have had some sense and taken advantage of this rare opportunity to lock in low rates. It's no different than a homeowner locking in a 3% mortgage instead of looking today at a 7% mortgage. Actually, it's now over 7. So it's the same actual process. We could have done it. We should have done it. Even Joe Biden could have done it for a short period of time before rates started moving up. And he didn't do it either. In fact, the article points out that one of the spokespersons for Joe Biden was asked about this. And the response was, we're not doing that. But they should have done it. And again, people knew about it, but it never happened. Okay, so I got some more great Donald Trump stories and maybe some kids that would be very interesting because they're having a super debate tonight. About five of my students will be discussing how you go about becoming a... I do see the message. Thank you. I get it. How you go about discussing all these ways of winning a nomination to be president, you know, if we were doing things in a sensible way instead of what we're doing, which is insanity and giving, you know, Donald Trump the keys to the Republican Party with him knowing nothing about anything. He doesn't know the first thing about any policy at all. You may remember there were times when people said about Bill Clinton, they said, that man is such a wonk that whenever there's any discussion of policy, he's the smartest man in the room. Now, maybe the smartest man in the room doesn't always do everything correctly and could make some personal decisions that aren't very wise. But he was the smartest man in the room, so at least you had that going for you. In this case, Trump is the dumbest man in the room. And they all laugh at how dumb he is. And when I say they laugh at him, I'm sure you recall when he was at the United Nations and he said some crazy stuff about how loved he was. And 193 countries at the United Nations were laughing at him hysterically. And he didn't even get it. He didn't know they were laughing at him. But they were. Okay. So what I'm going to do is talk about, first, dinner. Time for Din Din pretty soon. And that is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. And, of course, that's Wendy's. Wendy's is a great restaurant with wings and smoked meats and pizza. And what I love happens to be the barbecue ribs, the baby back ribs. I love them. Love those ribs. They've got that, and that's my favorite. But you eat what you want at Wendy's. Patty melts, cheeseburgers, said pizza. Just great food. Great food, great people. Ben is there. He's the owner. He is fun to meet. You need to meet him. In fact, I need to be up there again soon because I just would like to say hello to Ben. I enjoyed the time I was there, and it's time to go again. And you know, I can go without Vic. I went with Vic the first time, and I'm happy to go with Vic the next time. But I'm just saying he doesn't have to hold my hand. I, you know, I'm old enough. I can go. So anyway, that's Wendy's at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road in the Valley. And I will tell you that soon Wendy's will be in Defiance, Missouri. I don't know if they allow me in Defiance, Missouri. I'm going to have to check with Vic to see if they allow Jews in Defiance, Missouri. I'm not sure. But we'll find out. Yeah, I don't want to take any chances. Okay, so that's first, Wendy's. So now let's talk about jewelry. And you can go see my friend Al at 4506 Hampton Road. And that is in St. Louis. And believe me, Jewels on Hampton is a phenomenal jewelry store. They buy and sell coins and jewelry. If you've got a watch that's broken like mine was, they'll fix watches. They do everything. They really do. They design jewelry very creatively. Or you tell them what you want done with your gems, and they'll fix them for you in the design that you want. Anything you want when it comes to jewelry at Jewels on Hampton, that's 4506 Hampton, Hampton Avenue. I don't know what I said, road or, I don't know, gravel court or something like that. But anyway, no, it's Hampton Avenue, and that is in St. Louis. That's 4506 Hampton, and that's Jules on Hampton. Finally, my suits, I love them. You know, you may have noticed a trend. I talked about market trends here a little bit. You may have noticed a trend over the last 52 shows in my clothing. Not that it matters, but you know, there's a leaning towards blue. So yeah, that's out there. But there are different colors of blue, and believe me, I could wreck it in 2 seconds because I am colorblind. But so far, I've done very well following the instructions from the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. And they are on the corner of Forsyth and Central in Clayton, and they've been there for 29 years. Jay and Nick will help you anytime you go in. The rest of his family is mostly there too. They sell everything you can imagine when it comes to clothes. They're terrific when it comes to weddings. It's one of their main items that they take care of. The only thing they don't have, it's the only thing. Like I've said before, you can probably buy some Wendy's food there. They probably have Wendy's pizza in the back room. But what they don't have is Chucks. Sorry. I wear Chucks. You can get your Chucks somewhere else, but you can get everything else at the St. Louis Suit Company on the corner of Central and Forsyth in Clayton. 29 years. They're great. Okay. So what has Trump been up to? Well, let me start with this one. And this is pretty sad. You know, I've been bringing up the fact in the last week or so, because we've seen it. We now know factually that Donald Trump is actually the fake news that he has always accused everybody else of being. You know, the New York Times, the enemy of the people. The Washington Post didn't know anything. CNN and MSNBC, you know, he always talked about how they refused to put the camera on him because people would see how big his crowds are. So, you know, he thought they were avoiding showing the crowd size. When everybody knew that he had crowds, now he has no crowds. Nobody goes anywhere to see him anymore. And you know, that's a fact. You go to the courtroom and it's empty. One or two people out there with a sign for Trump. And that's the end of it. But in any case, Trump lies when it comes to everything. We know that. And he's the fake news. National Enquirer, although if you call that news, that's unbelievable. But okay. Now, here's why I bring this up. The New York Post and the Washington Examiner. Be careful. Not the Washington Post, the Washington Examiner. They came out with this story. And the story was that in the first 100 days of Joe Biden's administration, that his lies, that his facts that weren't facts, the things that he said, were all so wrong. They were misstatements that showed how completely inept the Biden administration is and has been from the start. That's the story. It was in the Washington Examiner and the New York Post. Now, I have a friend, and this friend is very smart. When I tell you he's smart, he's probably got 170 IQ, I guarantee you. Or maybe it's 160. I knew somebody with 170, but maybe this is 160. Photographic memory. He knows everything. And he told me this story, but he got one fact wrong. he explained to me that it was the White House that put out this information. It was the White House that reported itself that in its first 100 days, that its misstatements were so egregious that it was verging on criminal. And I said to my friend, when he said this to me, I told him, I haven't looked this up. I haven't heard it anywhere. And I told him, I guarantee you that the White House didn't say this. And it's not true. And there's some fake news that put this out. Anyway, he assured me I was wrong. But I was determined to look it up. And normally I wouldn't even check him this way because he knows everything. Lo and behold, I was 100% right. The story was out of the New York Post and the Washington Examiner. And when it was put in front of the White House spokesperson, Kirby, he laughed it off and said it was ridiculous. So it was the opposite. The White House didn't say that they were revealing all of these lies that they had told throughout the first 100 days of the administration. Instead, it was the opposite. The New York Post, which gets everything wrong, and the Washington Examiner, which intends to get everything wrong, they told this story. And of course, it was denied immediately by the White House. And it is wrong. It's not true. Maybe you can find a copy of this story in the National Enquirer. Probably. But that's going to be it. The New York Post, the Washington Examiner, and I didn't see anything in the Enquirer, but that would be the only other place to look. Trust me, it's not true. And certainly the White House never said it. And that was what was being put on me, that the White House was admitting how foolish they were and lying. But no, if they were lying, they weren't admitting it. But if you get it out of the New York Post, and if you get it out of the Washington Examiner, you can be sure that it's exactly what Donald has described, fake news. Okay. So that's one thing. Here's a good one. Trump has promised, no details, of course, that he will have Evan Gershkovich from the Wall Street Journal brought home immediately upon his entrance into the White House. About the same time while he's releasing the so-called hostages, that's what he calls them, that is the criminals who busted up Washington and tried to kill the police and everybody else, and Mike Pence, they were trying to hang Mike Pence. You know, all those wonderful people out for a picnic, okay, he wants to release them all, but what he's promising is he will get Evan Gershkovich out of Russia. No details, but I will say this. I almost believe it because, you know, his puppet master might very well agree to letting him out, Gershkovich. I'm sure that Donald would want to make a trade like Joe Biden for Gershkovich or Hillary or everybody. But anyway, he could possibly get Gershkovich out. What he didn't say is, you know, I've got this puppet master, and yes, he could help me to get this out. I am a useful idiot, and I could probably implore Vladimir to let the guy go. And at that point, since Vladimir would become the owner of the United States of America, why not let the guy go? So maybe. But that's about the only way I could imagine that one coming down, And in any case, don't worry about it because Donald isn't winning anything. Or possibly, I've said this a number of times, and it's a good opportunity to maybe bring it up again, and that is president of the Prisoners Association. I could see that. Okay. Here's one. This is a good one. Trump will not rule out political violence by his people if he loses the election. So in other words, he's saying that if he loses, the United States may have to sustain substantial political violence because, it's rigged if he loses, because he can't lose. How could he lose? I mean, did he lose the first time? Absolutely not. He won by a landslide, he says. And then he now says that he would be more upset about the court situation. He'd be more upset about it if not for the fact that the polling shows he's winning again by a landslide. So it's another landslide in favor of Trump, according to Trump. And after we heard David Pecker, we're supposed to not understand that this is fake news. Okay. Just wanted to put that out there. Now, here's one for you. This is all in the last few days. Some of this he said before, but this is just in the last few days. Trump says that he could end all of this mess in Israel, that there wouldn't have been a war in the first place. There wouldn't have been any of the problems at our universities. None of this. It would have all been stopped because if Donald were president, none of this would have happened. Never. And anyway, if he were there, he could stop it all and everything would go back to perfect. Okay. I mean, it's pretty funny because this guy, he just looks at everything and whatever it is, whatever he can find that somebody says is a problem, anything that looks bad, Donald says, raises his hand and he says, I could fix it. Number one, that was his story in the first administration. Remember, he said, I alone can fix it with regard to the U.S. problems, whatever they were. He could do it. I alone can fix it. Of course, we're still waiting for it to be fixed, but that's okay. I alone can fix it. He did nothing. Every other week was infrastructure week, and the only infrastructure bill, which was the largest infrastructure bill in the history of the United States, was passed under, the old man who's feeble, who can't do anything and can't think and doesn't know anything, just nothing. He can't walk, can't talk, can't think. But he passed the largest infrastructure bill in the history of the United States while Donald did nothing. You know what they say? Bupkis. Get it? Zero. Okay, so that's the story there. So those are all some of the things that I wanted to talk about with regard to Donald. But come on, you didn't think that I would leave you without the best one yet. Come on, there's nothing better than this. This one, you know how I keep talking about women? Women are 60 to 35 right now in favor of Joe Biden. Now, maybe you don't believe that, and that's okay, because I'm going to give you a story now. It's out all over the country now. I mean, he said this earlier, last night, I don't know, on an interview somewhere, and some other people are repeating it in the Republican Party. but this is the best. And, you know, I'm sure that when women become more aware of this one, there's going to be a landslide of voters to vote for him, because I'm sure every woman wants this. And the funniest part of all is that the women who are part of, you know, the Donald Nut Patrol, those will say he never claimed it, he never said it, has nothing to do with him, the Republicans don't want to do this, you're making it up, it's fake news and all that. I understand. They'll say it. But believe me, the tape is out here, as it always is, because Donald says it right in front of a camera. He doesn't care. So here we go. Perfect timing to end a perfect show, you know, beautiful show. It's, you know, just like the phone call he made to Georgia. It's all perfect. Here you go. Donald wants, this is hysterical, actually. He wants to monitor women's cycles. That's what he wants to do. He wants to be sure that women are not doing anything that would allow them to have even the opportunity to somehow sneak in an abortion. I mean, I'm not even talking about an abortion. I mean, I don't think anybody wants to see women have abortions. I certainly don't. But listen, Donald, if you're a woman, wants to monitor your cycles. I'd like to know how he's planning to do this. That is amazing. Great way to end the show today. I'll tell you, if you don't walk away shaking your head on this one, I don't know what you will. Unless you just say, come on, he never said it, he didn't believe it, it's not Donald, it's not the Republicans, Joe Biden made it up, and you know, all of that. Go look at the tape. Go look at the tape. Okay. Wendy's, St. Louis Suit Company, Jules on Hampton. Keep them in mind. And remember, this is Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen. Good night.